I have lived most of my life in Indiana. I think all but 11 years I figured out this morning. I am a very young 45 and a half years old. And I am not a Hoosier, though. I am a Boilermaker. Went to Purdue, graduated, have a wonderful degree, met my amazing husband there, am working very diligently to brainwash our children that Purdue is incredible, and was so excited from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Wednesday night that any other thoughts I had earlier in that day disappeared from my brain. So yesterday, I was volunteering at Floyd Central. And my phone starts buzzing, and I can't take it, and I see it's from George. And I'm like, uh-oh, I don't think this is going to be good. So I send him a text message, and I say, you know, I'm unavailable till after 12, you know, if you need anything. Wait a little bit. I get this message back. I should have brought my phone in. I'm on the way to the hospital. I can't be there tomorrow. I need you to do it. Okay. I can do this. I'm at Floyd Central till noon. Okay, I'll go home and we'll figure something out. I'll work on this. I get home and my loving family wants to take me to lunch. Yes, let's go. We're going to go to lunch. Okay. I got to figure out what I'm going to say to all you lovely people here Sunday morning. Okay, I get home. We actually went prom dress shopping, too. It was a very productive day in our house. So we get home, and I'm like, oh, you know, Michael and I, we have a date planned. We've got dinner reservations and orchestra last night. Oh, gosh, how am I going to figure this out? So I get my computer out. I have my Bible out, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I got to go take a nap. Okay, have my nap. Now it's time to get people ready because we got a date. I got to leave. So we go last night. We have an amazing, wonderful dinner together, a fantastic show, just a great time. And then afterwards, he's like, what do you want to do now? And I'm like, I need to go home. I got to get up early in the morning. I still don't know what I'm going to say to all of you. But so here we are. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to say to you this morning. Okay? Those that know me, I am a planner. I am an organizer, and I am a planner. And when I've had to do this before, I have had at least an 8-week notice, okay? Not an 8-hour notice. I've had like 8 to 12 weeks where I have my whole, every word I'm going to breathe to you, I have put on paper in front of me. I don't have every word today, okay? And does that make me nervous? Yes, it does. Because I think I'm also a bit of a perfectionist, and I don't feel I'm going to be very perfect for you since 8:30 this morning. But I came early because I like that quiet time. Probably not as early as George comes, but, you know, he's the head honcho. And people keep saying to me, I hear you're going to preach. Okay, I don't like that word. Okay? Laugh all you want. I am not a preacher. Okay? I do not have initials before or after my name. The only initials before my name are MRS. Okay? I am not a doctor. I have not gone to seminary. I don't even read this every day, okay? I have to be honest with you this morning. I don't read this every day. I cannot tell you all of the names of the books of the Bible, okay? I'm just going to be really honest with you this morning because I am one of you. We are each one of each other, okay? I'm not up here because I'm any better than any of you. I'm up here because I felt like it was between Rob or me, and I felt I was more good looking. I don't know. Okay? I do have some humor that comes out when I'm nervous, because it's like, I find if I'm nervous, either we have to laugh or I have to cry, and I would much rather laugh with all of you. Although, there are times we need to cry together, too, and that's okay, too. And as I thought last night as I laid my head down and I prayed. I mean, my prayer to God these last 20 hours have been, you give me the words, because I don't know it, okay? I don't have a secret message inside of me. I don't know all of the answers. I only know how this speaks to me. And I will share that with you today. And we may get home early today for some pregame time. I don't know. I'm hoping it's not too early. But I should say, first of all, we're not going to talk about John today, okay? Because that's George's topic. It's not mine. So those of you that have your little binders and want to take notes today, we're not going to do that. Okay, there's not going to be anything up there behind me. I don't even have any pictures of the kids to put up today to, like, diffuse me up here. Okay, so, but while I've thought about what we should talk about today, there are two words that come to my mind, and I'm going to keep walking because I'm too nervous to stand still this morning. I'd really just like to pull a chair up and just sit and talk with you, because my two words are community / family, so it's kind of like a long word, and then chosen or choice, okay? Because first of all, we all had a choice this morning, okay? We all chose to come together, each and every one of us. Now, maybe little Effie back there, she didn't get much of a choice, but we're so glad that she's here with us. I think Alexis is upset she's not back there yet, behind the other side of the doors, but we had a choice, and we have been chosen too, because it's not about the good things that we do or the bad things that we avoid, but it's about what Jesus has already done for us. And I want to read to you, I've got all these notes up here because, you know, normally I would have it all written out and I could just read it. But in Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians, in verse 4, I feel like my husband right now. How far can this go in front of me? Okay. And that's why if I print it out, I can make it really big. No. Okay. Now I just lost my page. There we go. Okay. So, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And I'll be reading from the NIT this morning, too. I'm sorry I didn't mention that first. See, we were chosen. Every single one of us was chosen. And I don't know about you, but there are days where I don't feel so chosen sometimes. But we were chosen. And see, we have chosen to come together and be a family. I've talked about that before in here. See, we are a family. All of us together. We may not live together in one great big house, but we live together here in this home. This is your home. This is my home. It's not just a building that we come to on Sunday mornings, but it's our home. We come here to be together, to know that you've got somebody who loves you and cares for you. And when they ask, how are you doing today? They're not saying it because they just want to keep walking and not really hear you, but they want to hear you. They want to listen. They want to know if you've had a good week or a bad week. They want to know how they can support you. See, when I look at this yellow card, yes, we want George to know that every single one of us was here today. But what I want to know is, what do you need from us? How can we be together when we leave those doors later? This is a way that I can know whether it's good or bad. You know, what incredible things did you experience this week that you want us to just thank God for? You know, because having that relationship with God is not just about, well, Lord, I need you to help me with this today, and what about this? But, you know, first and foremost, it's going before Him and thanking Him. Thanking Him for this day. Every day, I thank God for what I call my opportunities and obstacles. Now, I'm not sure yet if this morning is an opportunity or if it's an obstacle that I'm being faced with, but I thank Him for this. Okay, because I become more of who He wants me to be by facing those opportunities and those obstacles. Now, are they always easy? My gosh, absolutely not. But was life supposed to be easy? I mean, really, when we look at this book, can you tell me, I mean, really, can you give me the name of somebody in this book who had it easy? Because I have yet to find a story in here that is without something, without pain, without persecution, without imperfection. There's no perfect family in here. And yet we all think we have to be the perfect family. That if something's not going right in our family, we don't want anybody to know because that doesn't look good. And we want to look good. We want everybody to think we've got it all together. Well, I'll be the first to say today, I do not have it all together. I can make it look good, but that doesn't mean that it's all put together. And that's why we need to be with each other. Oh, there goes Effie. Alexis is going to be happy now. I'm sorry, I don't always get to hear the whole message on Sunday because I'm like running around back there. And then I leave really early and go make sure all those little kiddos are good. And so that's something I choose to do on Sundays. I choose to come in. I'm here for those kids. I choose to go to camp in the summer, not because, let me make this very clear. Susan and I did not chaperone eight girls. I can't remember how many girls we had last year. We didn't go to camp to live with these girls and not get any sleep for 3 nights. Because we did not get very much sleep those 3 nights. We chose to go because we want to share God's word and His love and our excitement for Him with those girls. We came home exhausted, emotionally, physically exhausted. But to see the look on those kids' faces while we're at camp, to see them in a worship room with 400 other kids, praising God, loving the music, having their arms up, just giving themselves to our Lord is an amazing, beautiful sight. I don't think Amy's planning another trip to Belize because she wants to sleep on the floor with the bugs again. I really don't. I mean, maybe she does like that. I don't know. But I don't think she does. But I think when she closes her eyes at night, she sees those beautiful faces of those children and those families that is now part of her family. She thinks of that group in Belize, that is an extension of her family. It may be 2 years since we've been there, but we have supported that church since we've left there. We have sent them things to help them. We have prayed for them, and they're going back. And they are choosing to do that. See, the word choose has been in my brain a lot for the last 32 days specifically. Because, see, on December 30th, of 2014, Rebecca lost a classmate. Now, for those that don't know, our daughter Rebecca is 10 years old. She's in fourth grade. She lost a classmate to cancer, who for a year and a half fought bravely, did everything her little 9-year-old body could do to fight cancer. And on December 30th, she beat cancer because she went home to be with Jesus. Okay? And her family, they have decided to choose joy. That is their new mantra, that we are choosing joy. Now, does that mean that they're not struggling every single day these last 32 days? Oh my, I can't even begin to fathom the struggle that they are feeling. I can't begin to know your struggle. But they are choosing joy. And they're honoring their daughter by choosing joy. You know, it took the dad a few days before he could walk by her bedroom without just breaking down. Okay, but they're choosing joy. They're choosing to remember her and to honor her. And this summer, she would have turned 10 in June. So their family of four now is going to Hawaii because that is someplace that Harper wanted to go to. She wanted to experience Hawaii. And so they're going. And on her birthday, they're going to watch the stars. And they're going to see their beautiful daughter up in the stars and know that she's forever with them. So they're choosing joy. So what do we each choose? We know that God chose us. And see, in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, it reads, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness for God." See, I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose to love each of you. Even when we don't agree who should have won that game Wednesday night. Okay? But, see, because we're all one. We're all pieces that make a beautiful puzzle together. And the puzzle's not complete without every piece. You know, have you ever put a puzzle together with your kids and you're missing a piece of it right there in the middle? And you can't see the whole beauty of what you've just put together. It takes each and every one of us to do that. We're all the parts. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, beginning at verse 22, that... See, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And if one part suffers, we all suffer. And if one part is honored, we all rejoice. Every part rejoices with it. And now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. See, we are a relationship with Jesus Christ. I read something this week that talked about, you know, how do we make this a part of our life? Is it on our to-do list? Is it something that we feel good if we check it off? But if we just view it as something we have to do, does that mean we're really in relationship with it? You know, I'm a mom of three, and I have a husband and a dog, and I always have lists going on in my head. I mean, first thing, when I get up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, it's like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to get up. I got to get the girls up. I got to make breakfast. I got to get lunch for them. I got to make sure their bags are packed. I got to get them out the door. And then I got to start over with Eli because then he's third. And then I got to do all that. And then, okay, what does Michael need something today? And then, okay, do I have to go to church today? And, oh, I got to go volunteer at school today. And it's just constant. And oh yeah, I should read this today, so let's put that on the list. But let me ask you a question. Do we put the people in our lives on a list? You know, I don't have a checklist that says, okay, I need to tell my kids I love them today. I need to kiss them goodbye. I need to tell them to be the sunshine at school because that's something I like to tell them. I need to kiss my husband 5 times today. We don't do that. Our spouses, our children, they're not to-do lists in our lives. At least I hope not. So why should we make our Father a to-do list? What kind of relationship are we going to have with him if we just feel it's something we've got to cross off today? Yeah, okay, I did my Bible study today, and okay, I read 20 minutes today, and, you know, that's all great. Can I have a sticker? But no, he wants us to talk with him. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be with each other with him. That's why we come together on Sunday mornings. Not so we can say, well, I went to church today. No. It's because we want to be together in his word. And we want to hear our band sing some amazing songs that, I don't know about you, but they just ignite a fire in my soul. And I'm just like, yes, that is what I wanted to hear today. You know, some of the words of the songs this morning, I give my life to follow. Okay, when we give our lives to God, it's not us being in front. It's not saying, God, let's do it this way. No. It's us saying, God, what do you want me to do today? How can I serve you by serving others? And boy, have I felt that door being opened up a lot lately. How can I serve you by serving somebody else? I surrender. You know, we sang those words, I surrender. That's a hard one. I like being in control. I like saying, this is what we're going to do now. This is our schedule for the day. But you know what? His schedule, man, if we just say, you know what? It's just show me, guide me, direct me. Just, it is amazing. I had a grandmother call me today, or not today, I'm sorry, this week. For those that don't know, our youngest daughter, she has type 1 diabetes. She's 10, diagnosed when she was 2. So we've been dealing with this for quite a while. And something that I take, I feel so blessed to be able to do this, is to be a person that families can reach out to when their child is diagnosed. I've been over to CoSARES the last few weeks. I've been in rooms with families that have just received the news, and I've just sat with them and we've talked. And I just want them to know that, you know, it's going to be okay. And so I had this grandmother call me this week, and I was in a meeting when I had her phone call. So when I finished, I checked my voicemail because I didn't know the phone number. And she said, "Wendy, my name is Becky, and you don't know me, but my grandson, Isaiah, was diagnosed last month. And I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. And, you know, I don't want you to think that, you know, that it's, because it's grandma calling. It's not the mom or the dad." And she's like, "I don't want you to think that, you know, his parents aren't involved." I mean, she's just going on. And I'm you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to call her right back. So I sat right there in my car, and I called her back. And I said, "Hi, my name is Wendy." And she's like, "Thank you." And so we start talking. And, you know, she just needed to share. She just needed to unload. And she even apologized so many times during our talk. She's like, "I'm so sorry that I felt I had to call you today." And I'm like, "Don't be." I said, "Because you know what? You are doing the thing that we are most scared of doing. And that is letting somebody else in. It's saying, you know what? I need some support right now. I need somebody." And it's being courageous enough to do that. Because you know what? In our society, it's too easy to say, "I'm good. I'm fine. It's all good. I don't need any. I can handle this." You know, but she's going, I don't know. She's like, "I'm just so sad. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, that's part of it is we can't do. You know, as parents, we want to fix." And especially the men, especially the husbands, the dads, you really want to fix. In fact, when I was visiting a family this week, I was talking to the 8-year-old little girl, sweet, adorable thing, just diagnosed. And I said to her, I sat on her bed with her and I said, "You know, I'm going to share a secret with you. This is going to be really hard on your daddy. Because those daddies especially, they want to fix it. We moms, we want to fix it too. But when we're told something, what do I need to do? What do we got to do? Just buckle down. What do we got to do?" But those daddies, oh man, it tears at their hearts because they just want to hold you in their arms and they want to fix it and they want to make it all okay because they're your big bad daddy, okay? And I said, "Your daddy can't fix this." I said, "That's going to hurt him." And she says, "Well, he likes to make things." And I said, "Well, you know what? I said, maybe your daddy can make you a special cabinet that you can keep all your supplies in." And that dad looked at me and he goes, "I've already thought of that. I've already thought of it." And see, there's only one daddy that we all have that can fix everything. Now, I don't mean God's going to fix it. I don't mean he's going to take away your pain. I don't mean he's going to take away that illness, but he's going to fix it in the way that he's going to be there for you. He's going to wrap his arms around you, and he's going to love you, and he's crying with you. That's how he's going to fix you, because he's going to give you that peace, that strength to put that next foot forward. And he's right there holding your hand. And he's even walking ahead of you. And he's saying, "Breathe. You can do this. Just breathe." Okay? Just breathe. Because I've got you. I am not going to let you fall. We are not told in here he's going to make it easier for us. If anything, we're told quite the contrary. It's going to be hard and difficult. But praise God for that. Because you know what? If it was easy, do you think we'd be here right now? Do you think you would have chose to be here today? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would have liked to have slept in a little bit longer today. I was here extra early this morning. But it's because we need each other. We need God first, but we need each other second. Okay? We are a family. And see, we have choices. So you can choose. I got to check the time. Oh, I'm doing awesome. You got to choose with what you want to share with your family. You can choose joy. You can choose love. You can choose to be there for somebody else. You can choose our children back there. You can choose to partner with us. You can choose to volunteer once a month. Since I've got your undivided attention, I might as well put a plug in. I am always needing your face back in those classrooms. Those children have needs. Now, am I a professor? Do I have a PhD? I told you, I have no initials before or after my name other than the MRS. I did not receive special training to get up here today or to do everything that we do there in the back. I have an amazing team of volunteers. It's not like it's just me. I cannot clone me. I have tried. It does not work. But I have amazing volunteers that each bring their own special part to what we do back there. You should see some of these men back there with these kids, these tall men getting down and just having a ball with our kids. The beauty I have seen with Michael Grant and Greg Crater and now Josh and Brian Wuhr, it is amazing. It is amazing. We're not back there giving them some lesson. Yes, we have things to teach them each week, but you know what? We're back there to smile, to give them love, to show them that they are loved and cared for, and that we are part of their family. Because each of them will grow up into what I have in my house, and that is tweens and teenagers. And I don't know about you guys, but they do not always listen to us. They don't like what I have to say, and they don't like what their dad has to say either. But they may like what you say to them, and it may be the exact same thing I've said to them. But see, that's how we're a family. Because we can't raise our three children just on our own. I need you. I need your support. I need your support for them, and I need your support for me. So I choose those kids. You might choose to be a part of the Belize trip, whether it's going with them, praying for them, supporting them financially, whatever it is. You might choose to do something in our community, and that's awesome. Because there are lots and lots of needs in our own community. I volunteer at Georgetown Elementary every Monday. I read to two or three library classes. I love reading to children. I have so much fun reading to them, to see their faces. This might be a surprise to you, but I'm a very expressionable person when I'm reading to them. But it's fun. I get to be with them. I get to bring them laughter. I get to be some a light. Because see, we sang about that today, you know, shine your light. Well, guess what? We can be God's flashlights all over the world because we can shine his light through us. Is Jonathan back in here? I don't know if he's in here. Oh, there he is. He's back in the back. I can't see him. You know, Jonathan doesn't know this, but he's part of our family. He may not know it. He knows it now. I'm just telling him. He's going to be gone. Greg said he's leaving. He's going on a tour out west, hoping he comes back. But we're going to pray for you. You don't know this yet. We're going to pray for you today here. We're going to bring you down in front of us, and we're going to pray for your travels. We're going to pray for your band. We're going to pray for you, for your safety, for the awesome experience that you're going to have out there, how you're going to touch other people's lives. And we're going to pray for you to come back. Okay, because we love you. And that's what we do when we choose each other. We choose each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are all going to have good, bad, and ugly. And some days we may feel like we got a lot more ugly than anybody else does. But no matter what, God is always with you. He's right there beside you. He's holding your hand. He's walking every step of the journey with you. And praise God for that. because I can't imagine walking in this world without him. And I don't think I really have anything else to say to you this morning. So I'm not going to take any questions. I was told don't ask to take questions because you never know what people are going to ask you. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to take up our offering. And I hope you will take a moment to fill out those Connect cards. And to just let us know what you choose this week. And how we can be together. Okay? Well, there are prayers, praises, or just whatever you might have. And then the band's going to come up, and they're going to sing. And then I think after their song, okay, don't rush out. We're not going to open the doors right away. I'm going to hold you hostage for another minute. After you sing, Jonathan, I want you to take off. If you have guitar stuff on, take it off. Come right on down here. And we're just going to come together with Jonathan. And we're going to send him off, okay, as a family, okay? So I'm sure his own mom and dad are going to have him do something this week too. But we're going to start early. We're going to get him going first for you. So that's our plan. So I'm going to pray, we're going to do offering, we're going to do a music, and then we're going to pray for Jonathan. So that's our plan, because I like plans, and that's what we're all about. And before I pray, I want to say thank you to all of you for being with me today, to being here as a family. If this is your first time, I don't know if I need to say thank you or welcome or I'm sorry. Whichever one you feel fits is the one that you can put there for you. But if you are here for the first time, we are so blessed and honored and excited that you chose to be here with us today. So thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to pray now. Oh, I feel like I should call Esther up, but Esther would tell me to just do it. So I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm sorry, I have to laugh, you really have no idea how nervous I am up here. I do not like being in front of people, okay? I've gotten through it, I'm happy I'm survived, and woo, praise God that George gets well and comes back next week, okay? All right, so, okay, well, if you would just please, don't stand, because we're going to do offering next. So just pray with me. Bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you do in our lives. Thank you for choosing each and every one of us. Thank you for being with us, for guiding us, for holding our hands, for loving with us, for crying with us. Thank you for the family that you have given us with each other. Lord, I just pray that as we walk out the doors this morning, that you will continue to shine your light in our lives and you will allow us to shine your light in the lives of others. Just let us be for you, Lord. Let us be for you, because it is not about us. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord, and what you want us to do in this world for you, for others. So, Lord, I just pray that you be with each and one of us. I pray for safe travels for those traveling this week. I pray for those that are ill that they will be healed. And I just pray that you let each of us know that we are still and that we can listen and do what you want us to do. So in your name, Lord, I give thanks. I praise you. You are awesome. And we all say amen.